Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome back, family. We got part two of when you realize that you want to go after the CAPM certification. So if you thought about it, if you're thinking about it, if you imagined it, well, here's part two to address and close some of those gaps that you may be thinking. With no further ado, you know how we roll. We get right into the content. Let's go. Point number one. Train your brain to recognize PMI's preferred approach. You mind if I tell a short story? You know, family, when I started going after my CAPM, when I first really was making that transition into project management. When I say transition, I was already a project manager, but I wanted more understanding of the foundations. I knew how the particular organization at that time I was working at, how they did project management, but I needed the foundational aspect. See, this is one thing that I love about PMI is that I can take that PMBOK and go anywhere in the world, and the standards should align. And there may be some differences, but there should be some alignment somewhere. And so one of the things you have to realize, especially if you're a project manager or you're someone that is, maybe you're an implementation manager or a project coordinator, or you are someone that is, you've been mentored by a project manager and you're making that transition, you have to understand, you must train your brain to recognize PMI's preferred approach. Let's unpack this. So PMI expects project managers to follow a structured, standardized approach, which may differ, keyword, from real world experiences. This is why you need to get mentored by a real world project manager, not somebody that just all of a sudden is teaching you certification but has no real world background project management. Okay, I won't go on the rant. Here, this is why it matters. Choosing answers based on personal work experience instead of PMI's methodology can lead to incorrect responses. I tell you, when I was going through the mock exams and through the quizzes, I was just failing them left and right. I'm like, no, that is not how we do it where I work at. We do X, we do Y, we don't do it this way. But I was thinking with a real world approach instead of how PMI wants me to digest the information. Here's my actionable tip. When you are answering questions, ask yourself, what would PMI do? I started to do pound hashtag. What would PMI do? But seriously, family, what would PMI do to ensure alignment with the PMI principles? Point number two, develop a deep understanding of CAPM terminology. This is like, this is a layup, literally, because one of the things, CAPM is heavily terminologically based, meaning, I tried to say that real fast, but terminology based. Basically, what that means is there a clear understanding of PMI definitions as well as concepts. So this matters because many exam questions test whether you fully grasp the project management vocabulary. You should be understanding and being able to interpret what is some of the project, not just what, but the whole body of what is project management vocabulary. If I ask you, what is a WBS? If I ask you, what is a project charter? If I ask you, what is a stakeholder register? You should be able to give me a high level definition of what does it mean. Here's my actionable tip. Create flashcards for key terms. And by the way, I'm coming with some flashcards of my own. I want to help you guys with that, but it's going to be some time. I'm trying to find a vendor to create these flashcards because these flashcards that I had used was so impactful for me because I could set them on my desk. I could carry them with me while I'm at work. And if I'm taking a lunch break, I can flip through these cards to see if I know the words or earned value management or any of the concepts out there. So again, create flashcards and key terms and definition. Use them daily to reinforce retention as well as practice explaining terms in your own words to ensure understanding. So basically, it's about retention. being able to understand and reinforce retention is going to be key, because you got to remember that CAPM is more of a knowledge base versus a situational type test. PMP is situational based. What are the difference? Situational based is saying, well, what would a project manager do in this particular situation? And it gives you the actual question, where CAPM is more vocabulary, more inputs and outputs, agile and things of that nature. Point number three, develop a test taking strategy. Now, in part one, we talked about this a little bit, as well as in 48 hours. You have 48 hours to take your exam. By the way, we have somebody, first of all, let's give it up to one of the family members. They actually passed their CAPM. They reached out and let me know that. So if you're watching this, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for sharing that win. That means a lot to me. I hope there was something that, you know, I was able to contribute to your journey. But congratulations to you, because you finished that journey. Now, don't stop there. Continue to keep going. All right, let's get back to today's episode. A well-planned strategy ensures you stay on pace and don't panic under pressure. Why does this matter? Well, managing time effectively can prevent rushing through difficult questions in the final minute. This is right here where a lot of people get caught up. They don't, like, if you're trying to go answer a question and you don't know the answer, you just stuck there like, I'm going to figure this out. And then the clock is just ticking and ticking. So it's better just to take your best guess, check it as, mark it as, mark it off, and then come back to it. Make sure you save yourself enough time to come back to the question that you flagged. Because if you don't do that and you stay stuck there, what will happen is that you eventually say, you know what? Not you. PMI would say, well, time is up. So anyway, let's move on. Point number four, surround yourself with the right people. Study groups. Join a form of study groups with fellow CAPM aspirants to share knowledge and motivation. Here's my explanation behind that. Like-minded individuals will keep you motivated. They will keep you accountable. This matters because burnout and procrastination is real. So having a community that supports you prevents these things. And community also, like I said, holds you accountable for what you said you wanted, not what they said they wanted, what you said you wanted, which is to obtain your CAPM. So I'm always going to recommend join the Magnetic Project Management community. We're starting slow, but when we start picking up, I'm telling you, I don't want you to miss out. So it's better to get on the ground floor as we're building and growing now, versus when we get to going, I don't know. But hey, that's your choice. That's your decision. I hope you make a decision and not a choice. Point number five, use teach it to someone else method. This is one of my favorites. And reason why it's one of my favorites, because teaching concepts to someone reinforces your own understanding. This matters because this method ensures you're not just memorizing, but you truly understand the material. A lot of times, these certifications, and I was guilty of it at first until I realized, I was like, wait a minute, I'm not enjoying the journey. What does that look like? That means understanding the content. And understanding the content, can I teach this to somebody? Well, here we are. So the point I'm trying to make is that being able to understand the content is going to be important. Go to your spouse, go to a family member, go to a friend, go to a colleague at work and talk this out and see if they understand what you're talking about. If they don't, then you know you need to do a deeper dive so you can boil it down to where you are able to articulate it in a way where the person you're talking to can understand it, and as well, it helps you understand the content better. So explain, actionable tip, explain project management concepts like a project charter, stakeholder engagement, or a friend in simple or everyday language. Point number six, treat mock exams like the real thing. I always talk about this, but a lot of times people don't take me seriously, and then they get in the test, and it's like a shell shock. They're just like, for a moment, they're like, what, you know, wow, this is really real. Yes, it's real. So always simulating exam condition helps you develop focus, improve time management, and reduce anxiety. This matters because the more realistic your experience practice sessions, and you know I'm about to go to my AI, we talking about practice? Yeah, baby, we talking about practice. The more confident you feel on test day, the more confident that you'll be able to respond to test questions. Here's my actionable tip. Set up a quiet place, use a timer to match the real exam duration and stick to the scheduled breaks. If you choose to take a break, we know that you get at the 75 mark question, you're allowed a 10 minute break. And then after that, there are no more breaks. So again, I would, if you're somebody that's going to want to take a break, I recommend that you do that. If you're not, then you say, okay, no, I'm not taking a break. I'm moving forward. But that's based on how you feel and what you practice and plan for. Point number seven, identify your learning style. This is huge for me because I was always trying to figure out my learning style. And one of the things I realized, I had to experiment. I had to try different learning methods. I had to analyze, reflect what works best. And then eventually, just like having an agile mindset, I had to adapt. I tailored my study approach. See, everyone processes information differently. Some learn through visuals, others prefer reading or hands-on practice. For me, I'm a combination of all three. I like to see the visual. I like to read. I like to get hands-on, as well as I like to hear it. So I need all of those pieces to really help me understand what I'm actually learning there. Because if not, it just doesn't do me any good. This matters because understanding your preferred learning method helps you retain information faster and more efficiently. Here's my actionable tip. Experiment with flashcards. Maybe you need a mind map. Maybe you need video lectures. Maybe you need practice questions. But find out what best works for you. Point number eight, create a CAPM formula sheet. Now, this is memorizing key formulas ahead of time prevents last minute panic. Now, one of the things about this is understanding earned value management and then understanding schedule variance and cost variance, having the ability to actually know what you're talking about. Again, just don't memorize and not understand the concept behind it. It's important. Matter of fact, it's imperative that you understand the concept behind it so you can grow. Here's my actionable tip. Write down critical formulas and review them daily before the actual exam. Bonus number one, train your brain for multiple choice questions. You know, one of the things is understand the question structure. Recognize those tricky wording and double negatives. This is going to help you navigate these questions. Practice elimination. Remove the wrong answer first. This is one of my key things that I'm going to put in my training to teach people who wants to sit and pass the CAPM, because this is one of the things that worked for me. PMI also has it where you can strike out answers when you're on the test. So I always recommend when you identify an answer, strike it out that if it's not an answer that aligns with what you're trying to see. Because let's say I got four answers here. And I know letter A is not it. Strike it out right away so you're not going back and overlooking it as well. And I also have another key trick, but I'll save that for another day. But if you want to know more about that when the training drops, definitely you'll be able to get access to it. Identify keywords, like look for clues in the question, because the question is always going to leave you a clue. It's just how you identify and really review the question that's going to help you. So CAPM questions often have, like I said, tricky words, double negative, and best choice scenarios. This matters because familiarity with how questions are structured helps you avoid common traps. Actionable tip, practice eliminating the wrong answers before selecting the best choice. Now, that's a key word. I should have highlighted that because there may be two good answers, but you need to select the best choice and look for keywords that guide the correct response. And bonus number two, different between key project management roles. See, this is like you would think this is easy, and this is where a lot of times you can fall victim to because of the fact you think it's so easy that you don't even invest the time to study it. So the CAPM exam often tests knowledge on different roles, such as the sponsor, the project manager, team members, and stakeholders. This matters because you need to understand who does what so you can prevent confusion on questions regarding responsibility. Here's my actionable tip. Create just a one-page reference guide defining each roles and key responsibilities and decision-making authorities. If you need me to create that for me, send me a message, drop a comment in chat, and I would love to create that for you so you'll have an understanding of a cheat sheet of just to say, okay, who responsible for this, and who makes this decision, and who authorizes the project, these type of things, so you have a better understanding and it'll help you on your exam. All right, let me give you my three transformational remarks and then I'll be on my way. Number one, train your brain to recognize PMI's preferred approach. Like I said, choosing answers based on personal work experience instead of PMI methodology can lead to incorrect responses. My actionable tip is, when answering questions, ask yourself, I'm going to do it again, pound hashtag, what would PMI do? You just want to be able to, all seriousness, family, you want to be able to ensure alignment with the PMI principles. And number two, teach it to someone else method. This is so key. When you're able to not just memorize, because I don't want to work with people that just want to memorize, because memorizing is not going to help you on your journey. When you're sitting in that interview and you have a great opportunity and you did all this memorization, but you didn't understand the content, then you won't be able to give proper context to what you're talking about. So again, my actionable tip is, set up a private conversation, discuss the reasons for not attending, identify how to prove future actions. What I mean by that is, understand, being able to articulate what you're talking about, what you just learned at a very high level. You should be able to do that with anybody. Identify your learning style. This is going to be important. Understand preferred learning methods helps you retain information faster and more efficiently. My actionable tip is, experiment with flashcards, mind maps, video lectures, and practice questions to find out what's best for you. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.